الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل فمن يتبدل الكفر بالإيمان فقد ضل سواء السبيل سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within human beings has created a natural desire to know. So there is within us this inquisitive nature. And what we like to do with that inquisitive nature is we ask questions. We explore the world around us, we interact with people, and then certain questions pop up in our mind. Now, the Sharia, amazingly, actually very interestingly, the Sharia mandates whether our questions are permissible or impermissible, and actually establishes certain guidelines for our questions. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the previous communities were destroyed by their excessive questioning. Previous communities had been destroyed by their excessive questioning. So here, basically what's being highlighted in this hadith is that there is a nature in human beings to ask questions. Right? We look at the world around us, it raises questions in our mind. We interact with one another, it raises questions in our mind. We think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated upon us, it raises questions within our minds. Now, some of those questions are permissible and are beneficial, and other questions can actually be so dangerous that they can destroy communities before us, right? So the excessive questioning of the people before us actually led to their destruction. And in fact, in the ayah that I recited in the very beginning, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is either establishing the Sahaba or establishing the Bani Israel at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In either case, regardless of which direction you turn the dhamir, in either case, the point is the same. أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ. Do you desire that you ask from your messenger, that you question your messenger, كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ, the way Musa alayhi salam was questioned previously, meaning in the way that the people at the time of Musa alayhi salam unnecessarily asked him questions that they shouldn't have asked. وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. And whoever changes kufr to iman, he has chosen a bad path. Or he's been guided along a bad path. So now you can see in this particular case here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equates the questioning of the people of Musa alayhi salam with the exchange of iman for kufr. So now again you can see the potential danger that Allah arises when the inquisitive nature within a human being is misused. Now, at the same time, on the opposite extreme, you'll find many ayats in the Quran, and this is what confuses people. You find many ayats in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to think. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Amazing. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and where are they going, right? Or where are you going? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Now, to ask a question to an inquisitive being raises questions in that person's mind, right? So by nature we're inquisitive. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges the inquisitive being with a question, meaning what ends up happening is that then questions raise in our mind. Where are we really going? What direction are we really headed in our lives? What choices have we really made? Are we on the path of Allah or on the path of something other than Allah? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses questions throughout the Qur'an in order to bring us back to the path, right? مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْقَرِيمِ, etc. So all of these different questions that are being asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are being asked also from an inquisitive being. Now, overall, the Sharia places certain dimensions on our questions. And so what we have to do is we have to look at where questions are beneficial and then learn how to handle the questions that arise within our mind. And so for this, you have to understand a couple principles. Number one, questions will always arise in a person's mind. The human mind by nature, it keeps questioning. And questions always pop up. So you will never be able to stop questions from arising. But it's not the question arising that becomes a problem, it's how you handle the question after it's arisen. That's where the responsibility of the person who strives to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies. Now, either the question will be, there's three types of questions that arise in a person's mind. Okay, one question is a very beneficial question to an extent. And that question is when an individual looks at the creation around them. So they look at the trees, they look at the sun, they look at the moon, okay, etc. And when they look at all of these different objects, they begin to say, who created this? And then that leads them to the next point. Well, this is too perfect to be created randomly. And then that leads them to the next point that I need to find a creator. I need to seek out my creator. I need to wonder how did the universe become the way it is. And then at that point, the questioning has to stop. Then what happens is that you have to go to the messengers. And they provide the answer. So you can never provide an answer beyond that. So for example, if the question arises in your mind, look at the sun, look at the sky, look at the moon, look at the ground, look at the trees, etc. And then after you do all of that, you say, well, this can't be random. Who is my creator? Your mind can't generate who the creator is. In fact, people have tried that. And so you found people worshiping the sun, people worshiping the moon, people worshiping the stars, people worshiping fire, because they took their questions one step further and tried to rationalize who their creator was. At that point, when an individual gets that far, then they have to go to the messengers. Then the messengers inform them, right? That's the benefit of the messengers. They inform them, Allah is one. The name of the person, the name of the being who created the universe is Allah. These are His characteristics. This is what He's revealed to His messengers about Himself, etc. So that's the first. So anyway, that's the first type of questioning. And there's some benefit in that, but as long as the questioning is restricted. Okay, then there's a second type of questioning, which is a very dangerous type of questioning. And that's questioning the Sharia once you've accepted the Sharia. Right? An individual accepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gets to the point where they recognize that they have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they have these laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals. Now, for us, at that point, the questioning ends. Right? So there is no more questioning at that point. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a decision about something. We don't question that decision anymore. We have no right to question that decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed something. We don't question that revelation. In fact, we have no right to question that revelation. And questioning of those things is the disease. Alright? It means that we're excessively questioning. We've gone beyond the limit of where our questioning should be. So it's a very important thing to pick up on if it exists within our lives. And this is very common in this society. Because in this society, everything is deconstructed, right? So what do we learn? We go to college and we learn that Shakespeare was this great author, and you don't have to have any background to question Shakespeare. You can ask, why did he do this, and what do you think, person A? Then they ask in the class, what do you think, person B? Then they ask in the class, what do you think, person C? As if A, B, and C have any idea what they're talking about, right? I mean, these are things that people spend decades studying, they do PhDs in, and now everybody has the right to make a comment. So what happens? Now that type of thinking, it becomes very dominant within our minds. And then what happens is now it starts spreading into other aspects of our lives until it eventually encroaches within the realm of our deen. Then the question arises, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry at such and such occasion? Na'udhu billah. Okay? Or the question starts arising, well, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandate this law? Oh no, this law must have only been for that time or that place. Right? So then all of these questions start arising and we begin to question the essence of the deen, which is wahi. The actual essence of the deen is wahi, and then the wahi begins to get questioned. That's a very, very dangerous place. And that's where the questioning goes into a realm where it should not go. And that's what the previous people were caught up in. Now, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ. Do you desire that you ask your messenger? This was their problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealing revelation upon the messenger. And the messenger was making decisions based on revelation, yet the people were not accepting it. Instead, they were asking unnecessary questions concerning the revelation as if they had some right to ask a question. No one has a right to ask a question when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandates something. Who are we? Are we fools? Allah tells us to do something. He creates the earth. He creates us. He creates the environment. He creates the atmosphere. He creates every circumstance around us. And then we want to question why Allah mandated something or didn't mandate something. That's a very dangerous game, because what you're basically acting as if you have some right of veto over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rulings. We have no right of veto over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ruling. In fact, it's even stated in the principles of Aqidah that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to take every single Muslim and place them in Jahannam, and Allah desires to take every single person who didn't believe and place them in Jannah, no one can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is binding on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. That's His right. That at any moment He can make any decision that He so desires. That's part of our belief. So, when the people were questioning their messenger, that was the actual problem. Was that they were actually questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation upon that messenger. Now that questioning came in many different ways. Some people would question why Allah chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the Prophet. Right? And that was the problem with the Bani Israel. They said, why not this person from our tribe? Why this person from another tribe? Alright? Other people like the Kuffar, they would question, why this man from our tribe? Why not that man from our tribe? Okay? Now, that was the situation at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that situation exists all the way until now. This ayah, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ, right, doesn't only apply to that group of people at that time. It applies throughout time. So that when we know that something's present in hadith, we know that something's present within the Qur'an, we know something is a firm principle of the deen, to then go around and question that puts us in the same category. So you have to be extremely careful about where your questions are placed. Now that doesn't mean questions won't arise. Okay? Again, I told you, the problem isn't that questions arise. The problem is how you apply the question. Now questions will always arise. That's the nature of a human being. And the responsibility of the human being is to act like a traffic cop. To act like a traffic director. So what happens? What does the person at the signal do? He guides traffic through. And what the one thing that the person who's guiding traffic never wants is that traffic stop. He wants people to go, he wants people to go, he wants people to go. He will not let traffic stop, okay? Until it's time for it to stop. Same thing with the ideas that pop up in our mind, alright? Sometimes good ideas pop up in the mind, right? So in that case, it's your role as a traffic cop to take that idea and let it stay in the mind, to try to retain it within the mind. For example, the idea comes up that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise me on the day of judgment, and I wonder how shameful I'll be standing there on that day. Okay, now that's a positive idea that popped up in your mind. So what you have to do is you have to run that idea through the mind over and over and over and over again so that it sticks, it draws its roots into the soil of your mind, and it fertilizes, it becomes fertilized and it becomes permanent so that that state becomes dominant within you. Alright? Now at the same time, another idea can pop up in your mind. Well, if all of this was created by Allah, then na'udhu billah, who created Allah? Right? Now those kind of ideas can also pop up in a person's mind, and they are natural. Sometimes they do pop up in a person's mind. In fact, it comes in hadith. Subhanallah. The Sahaba went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and raised this type of issue. That if this type of idea comes up in my mind, what should I do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, that you should remove the idea from your mind and read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? So when some ridiculous idea pops up in the mind, which is can happen naturally, when some ridiculous idea pops up in the mind, then what you should think is La hawla wa la quwwata. There is no power and there is no strength except with Allah. That phrase should be so dominant over your thinking. Because you recognize the strength of Allah in that He created the whole universe. You recognize the power of Allah in that He can take you and place you in Jahannam and it makes no difference to Him. Right? That thought should be so dominant and so powerful that it erases any type of foolishness that arose within the mind, and you begin to run that thought through your mind, and you get so stuck on that thought that everything else becomes eliminated. That's the power of that phrase. And that's the way it needs to be used in that context. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So these ideas pop up. Now sometimes people, they write, okay, or they'll contact me, and they'll say, what can I do? These ideas pop up. I don't know how to avoid these ideas. Well, there's a couple things. Number one, you need to be very careful about your interaction with people who don't believe. Alright? Because people who don't believe, it's their job to question so many things. That's their nature. Either you have people who believe, who are basically a group of people who submit to wahi, and who submit to the fact that there are some things that they don't need to understand. Right? Or there's another group of people on this planet, they basically believe everything needs to be questioned, everything can be rationally arrived at, etc. When you start hanging around those type of people, their thinking will eventually fall over into your mind. And that's what happens. You know what happens? You end up watching the news, right? And some innocent article about Islam comes up. Alright? Some very innocent article, or some very innocent piece about Islam comes up, and it starts raising questions in your mind. Well, why did Allah reveal it that way? Look how bad they made it look. Obviously, they're going to make it look bad because it doesn't reflect what they think. It doesn't fit what they rationally believe, right? Now what happens is now that thought gets stuck in your mind. Now that thought is stuck in your mind, and because you're not trained in how to handle it, you start rotating it through. You don't get rid of it. Instead, you start thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. And what happens? It starts threatening your core, your iman. Your essence becomes threatened. Now you start thinking, why did Allah reveal that law? How can that make sense? Why did the Prophet ﷺ marry at this particular time? How can that make sense? Na'udhu billah. And all these weird ideas start popping up. Right? So you have to be very careful. I would not even put myself in that environment. Because that is so dangerous. Because that is a challenge to your essence. Who is going to... I don't want to take any chance with my essence. Why do you want to take a chance with your iman? So you have to be very careful about these types of things. Reading these foolish articles about what people have to say, negative things about Islam. Going to these websites where people say negative things about Islam. Stay far away. Stay far away, because without the proper training, there's no way you'll be able to handle that. And I'll tell you, it's not one or two people who contact me with these kind of problems. It's many, many people. And it's so deeply ingrained that I can see their iman slipping out of their hand. It's so deeply ingrained within them. So you have to be very careful, very careful. Any type of aberrant thought that arises within the mind, immediately recite la hawla wa la quwwata and reflect on that statement. And get yourself out of that environment. Alright? It's too risky. Now you start thinking, well, I'm a very educated person. I've gone to college. I should be able to look and interact in these types of environments and come up with answers. You're going to kill yourself. You will not survive. You will definitely not survive. It is such a dangerous thing unless you're trained. Yeah, if you go, you get 25 years of Islamic education, okay? You're a mufti, you're an alim, you are superior in your ability to defend the deen, then you can stand up and defend the deen. Somebody like Imam Ghazali, right? Rahmatullah alayh. So people like that, they were called the proof of Islam, but they had trained themselves. You won't be able to survive in that environment unless you're fully trained. So better to save yourself from any situation like that. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that when these questions arise, if they continue to plague you, then you should go and try to seek the answer. You shouldn't wait. Alright? So you can go and ask this question from someone. You go to somebody that you trust, somebody that you know, and you say, I'm plagued by this question, let me get the answer. But don't make the mistake of asking your friend. Okay? Because what ends up happening, number one, your friend has no clue. And number two, now the friend has a problem, so now there's two problems instead of one. Right? Now the friend that's going to be going through the friend's mind, and it's going to be going through your mind. Okay? So you have to be very careful about how you handle these things, because they are very, very, very dangerous. They destroyed communities previously, and they can destroy individuals, especially in a place where there is no community. SubhanAllah, in this place, at this time, when these people call me, right, people call me on occasion and they have these issues, and it's very, very deeply developed type of cancer. When they call me, then I start thinking, SubhanAllah, this person is this close to being lost. Now, if that person gets lost, right, if they lose their iman, it's not only they that got lost. They're going to get married, they're going to have kids, and that whole line is going to be gone. Now, the issue is, we're not in a Muslim country. Okay, at a time and at a place, in a Muslim country, if the whole line goes, the whole line falls into what? Into sin. Nobody would leave Islam. I mean, it's very, very rare in a Muslim country, right, for somebody to leave Islam. But what would happen is they would become sinners. Okay, at least they would leave the door open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, right? Now, in this particular place, at this time, in this age, what happens? Somebody slips out. Then what happens is iman becomes threatened, right? Not sins, but now you get to the situation where iman altogether can leak out of a person. So we need to be very careful about how we handle these situations. It's true Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did create an inquisitive nature within us, but you have to realize how to handle it. And you got to be very, very careful, especially with the way that we're trained, especially if you've gone to college, especially if you've been raised in this situation where everything can be deconstructed, where everybody's opinion counts, where everybody has the right to say what they think, right? That becomes very, very dangerous in aspects of the deen. So be very, very wary about thinking in that manner. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who recognize how to properly ask questions, to be among those who allow good questions to be maintained within our mind, and to be among those who are able to pass bad questions through our mind. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.